Matter of Bonnet Russo Jr., may we please have appearances? And Judge Russo is next to you, Ms. Clark?
Yes.
Will he be addressing the court?
No.
Ms. Bauman, you may proceed.
May it please the court. Good afternoon, Chief Justice, Associate Justices. The Advisory Committee on Judicial Conduct found that the four counts charged in the formal complaint were proven by clear and convincing evidence, and that respondents' conduct violated Canon 1, Rule 1.1, Canon 2, Rule 2.1, and Rule 2.3a, and Canon 3, Rule 3.5, Rule 3.8, and Rule 3.17b of the Code of Judicial Conduct, as well as New Jersey Court Rule 1:12-1g. The committee recommended a 3-month suspension without pay. There was a dissent, as noted in the presentment, which consisted of 3 public members and 1 attorney member, and they recommended a 6-month suspension without pay. The dissenting members placed greater weight on the aggravating factors, which they stated included respondents' off-the-record remarks following his discourteous and inappropriate questioning of the litigant during the final restraining order hearing. The dissent noted they were particularly egregious and warranted a suspension greater than 3 months. Up until the hearing, when respondent entered into stipulations, respondent refused to acknowledge that any of his misconduct violated the code or was somehow improper. Just prior to the hearing, respondents stipulated to 2 of the 4 counts of the complaint. And the 2 counts that he stipulated to were conflict of interest and an ex parte communication with a litigant. The respondent consistently denied the remaining violations. There was a 2-day hearing before the committee relating to the 2 remaining counts, which included mistreatment of a domestic violence victim and an abuse of office charge, based on a call that respondent asked the family division manager to make to her counterpart in another county where his personal guardianship matter was pending. The committee found all of the charges were proven by clear and convincing evidence. The ACJC acknowledged that these 4 instances occurred early in Judge Russo's judicial career, but noted that a practitioner of his experience should be familiar with these ethical constraints. In respect of the count relating to mistreatment of the domestic violence victim, respondent's conduct was discourteous, inappropriate, and he re-victimized the victim based on the questions he posed to her. Not only were the questions unwarranted, but they served no legitimate purpose within the Prevention of the Domestic Violence Act. Respondent never asked a question relating to the defendant's conduct as it occurred during the assault, and instead he focused on the victim. During the hearing, respondent testified before the committee that his questions were designed to aid the plaintiff in recounting the traumatic event. The plaintiff was not represented during the hearing. The committee found that these comments were inconsistent with the reasons given by respondent, and again, that they were inappropriate and offensive to the victim. The ACJC found that respondent's testimony undermined his comments to his court staff after the hearing was concluded and the parties had left the courtroom. The committee also rejected respondent's justification that he was using that situation as a teaching moment to his law clerk, who was also present in court. The tone that respondent used during those off-the-record comments to his staff showed that he certainly was not using that as a teaching moment to his law clerk. There was laughing during the off-the-record comments. There was continued speaking by the respondent instead of shutting down the conversation with his staff, which he initiated. He continued it, and it kept going. The committee described respondents' comments as sophomoric and demonstrative of an emotional immaturity wholly unbefitting the judicial office and incompatible with the decorum expected of every jurist, regardless of judicial experience. In determining whether or not there were any aggravating factors present, the committee looked to respondents' continued denial of his wrongdoing. However, the committee noted more aggravating as a circumstance was the off-the-record comments, and it was for that reason that there was the discipline recommended. The majority recommended 3 months suspension without pay. That recommendation is appropriate and comports with judicial discipline in this state. Thank you. If there are any questions.
Questions, anyone?
No.
Thank you, Ms. Baum.
Thank you.
Ms. Carrillo.
May it please the Court, Supreme Court Justice and Associate Justices. I am here on behalf of John F. Russo, Jr., Judge of the Superior Court, to address the Advisory Committee on Judicial Conduct's four-count amended complaint and presentment against him. We are here today at the Court's direction to appear for this order to show cause. However, as you know, my client accepts the findings and recommendations of the committee. He has read the presentment, and he sees and he understands that he was wrong. He will accept and serve any discipline imposed by this court. Briefly, I'm going to address the allegations. Early in this matter, on October 17, 2018, Judge Russo stipulated to violating the Code of Judicial Conduct as to counts 3 and 4, as the presenter has indicated. For this reason, I'm not going to address those two counts. I will address his testimony before the committee as to counts 1 and 2, so as to explain now why he is admitting wrongdoing in those actions. With regard to count 1, MR versus DH, the improper questioning of a pro se witness in a domestic violence matter. When he testified before the committee, Judge Russo explained that he did not intend to imply that a victim of sexual assault should close her legs to avoid an assault. However, after reading the presentment and reflecting upon it, he now understands that his intentions do not matter. He understands that what matters only is the impact that his word had upon others. He understands that these are words that cannot ever be uttered to a woman alleging sexual assault because they imply that it was her fault. He is remorseful about the hurt that this may have caused the plaintiff and others who might have heard this and thought that he and perhaps the entire judiciary do not give cases involving sexual assault serious consideration. For this, he is sorry. I will now address the off-the-record conversation with court staff that the presenter mentioned. In November of 2018, I received a copy of the court's marked backup recording of an off-the-record conversation between Judge Russo and staff. This took place in MR versus DV right after the litigants had left the courtroom and after the case had concluded. I played it for Judge Russo. As soon as he heard it, he was very embarrassed and upset. He understands that the conversation was inappropriate and left the decorum of the judiciary in question. He's not making excuses for his behavior. I cannot emphasize strongly enough how much he regrets that this went on in his courtroom and that he not only allowed staff to speak that way, but that he participated and even encouraged it. There is no excuse for this behavior, and he will accept the discipline imposed by this court, whatever it is. And there is no question that he understands the seriousness of this issue. With regard to count 2, misuse of his judicial office.
But before you move beyond that, the ACJC was obviously very disturbed by the comments the judge made to staff.
Yes.
Can you tell us why he made them?
I cannot. He is not making excuses for his behavior. He wishes that he'd like to take that back.
So at the hearing in front of the ACJC, the judge testified that he made those comments in an effort to offer guidance to his law clerk about the complexity of DV matters.
Yes.
Does he stand by that?
He did say that, and he was being truthful, but he understands that the laughing, that the tone, that the fact that he did not stop the conversation was not appropriate, and that the whole entire matter was not appropriate.
So he maintains that the response at the hearing was truthful, and to be clear, we're talking about comments such as these. As an exotic dancer, one would think you would know how to fend off unwanted sexual, and then the voice drops off. What I lack in handwriting skills, I am the master of on the record being able to talk about sex acts with a straight face. His position still is those were efforts to guide a law clerk?
Well, I have to explain that particular section. The comment that he, with regard to the exotic dancer comment, during the hearing, the defense counsel asked a question related to her profession as an exotic dancer, and that because of her profession, she would be more than capable of thwarting sexual advances. And Judge Russo stopped that questioning. And when he was making those comments after the hearing, he was talking about how the defense counsel had asked that inappropriate question. That was not a moment of instruction. When he was talking about the moment of instruction, really he was talking about how it's not all fun and games out here. That was really the only comment that he really mentioned that was the moment of instruction. But he understands that all of these things, it sounds like he's making excuses, and he doesn't want to do that. He understands the behavior was not appropriate and wrong. And he read the presentment, he's reflected on it, and understands that it was something that he should have stopped right from the beginning. Are there any other questions?
Well, when you say should have stopped, and this is following up on the Chief Justice's question, end quote, because after that quote, there's an unidentified speaker who says, without laughing, yup. And from reading this dialogue, it seems like everyone was just having, like, a good time after the testimony of this alleged domestic violence victim. Am I wrong about?
You're not wrong about that. And that's why the information that we're giving today is admitting that that was a conversation that should not have occurred. And something that will not occur again, because he understands the seriousness of it.
Did he not understand the seriousness at the time? I mean, he did pause to ask whether or not court smart recording was off.
Again, there's no excuse for the behavior.
That's not responsive to my question. Did he appreciate it at the time as evidenced by the fact that he was asking whether or not the recording was off?
I suppose. I mean, I was not there, I am not he, but I can tell you that he is sorry, he is remorseful, and he understands that that is not the type of the behavior that should be going on in his courtroom.
So he testified as well about the extent of training that he had had up until that point. Is it his position that he needed more training to understand the impropriety of the questions and the comments?
It's his position. The entire conversation, regardless of training, should not have happened.
I'm sorry.
That regardless of training, that it should not have happened. That should not have happened in this courtroom. And there's no other explanation that can be given that would be credible with regard to that. Reading the presentment, he could see how this looks and that it was not appropriate.
Is it still his position today that, although it shouldn't have happened, he recognized it shouldn't have happened, that it was still, in order to instruct his law clerk on the complexities of the law?
No.
Is that still his position today?
That one comment he made, but he understands how the whole entire conversation looks and how it looks as though
Which comment is it where he was instructing his law clerk on the complexities of the...
It's not all fun and games out here. That's all. And he shouldn't have said it. And it sounds like he was making excuses, and we're not doing that today.
Look, from reading the dialogue, it sounds like the judge and the people around him were just yucking it up after this proceeding. Am I wrong about that?
No. You're not. And that's why we're here saying it's behavior that was embarrassing, upsetting, and he accepts the recommendations of the committee.
So in light of what occurred, would it be appropriate for Judge Russo to preside over sensitive matters in family court now or in the future?
I think that Judge Russo, who is handling civil matters now in Burlington County and working very hard, has learned his lesson with regard to this, and this is the reason why he will serve any discipline imposed by this court. He will not do this again.
Could a reasonable victim of a sexual assault come away with confidence in the integrity of the process if Judge Russo presided over that matter in the future?
I think a person could, because he is standing here today, has asked me to stand here today and accept any punishment that the court will decide is appropriate as assurance that he understands the seriousness of this and that it would not occur again.
So the case law that you've cited in your papers speaks to the purpose of judicial discipline. My question goes to the case law itself. Could an informed, objective member of the public have confidence in the judicial system if Judge Russo, after a period of discipline, were to preside over family matters of this nature again?
I believe so, because he is remorseful and has learned from that mistake.
If the court were to decide that he could not preside over these sorts of sensitive matters in light of the conduct here, how could he then serve anywhere in the system? Would the same types of concerns about public confidence in our judicial system arise?
Because he has read the presentment, understands how it looks to this court and others, and has learned that this is not behavior that should be permitted in his courtroom even for 5 minutes because of what this entire process has done with regard to him and to the judiciary. And my standing here saying to you that he is willing to serve any disciplinary sentence that this court would think would be appropriate is evidence of that. And he would like to return to his position in Burlington County, which he's been working at for months without any incident at all, and continue to serve. And his willingness to accept the disciplinary decision of this court is evidence of that. And the cases talk about punishment of a particular judge, and he is willing to accept any disciplinary decision as evidence of the fact that this court could have confidence in him.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you. With regard to the misuse of his judicial office, Judge Russo is a father to an adult son with multiple disabilities, including Down syndrome and bipolar disorder. Judge Russo has been his son's custodial parent since 2005. He filed to become Jake's legal guardian, and Jake's biological mother, who had only limited visitation, contested Jake's stepmother being appointed co-guardian. The case was set for hearing in Burlington County, and the judge assigned to hear the matter became ill at the very last minute, canceling the initial hearing date. Thereafter, the parties went to court and tried to resolve the matter. It did not settle, and the judge ordered everyone back before him in a week's time. This gave Judge Russo very little time to rearrange his court calendar. He called Jill Vito, the family division manager, and told her he was going to need to take off a very busy motion day. He admits to saying to her, unless you can call your counterpart in Burlington County to reschedule things, he was going to need to take that day off. He also testified that immediately after the words came out of his mouth, he told Jill Vito, I'm not going to be able to come in that day. And the cases would need to be reassigned or adjourned. A few minutes after the call, he submitted a leave memorandum requesting to have the day off. He never intended to abuse his judicial office regarding his son's guardianship. However, after reading the presentment and reflecting upon it, he understands that his intentions do not matter. He understands that what matters only is the impact that his words had on others. He understands that as a judge, he's responsible for his words and their impact. He understands that uttering those words in any circumstance was not appropriate, and he regrets using them. For this reason, he accepts the recommendation of the committee and is willing to accept the discipline imposed by this court, whatever it is. After reading the presentment, Judge Russo did read it carefully. He understands the impact that his words had on others. He knows that his words were inappropriate. He realizes that it appeared to the committee that he was making excuses for his behavior. Today, he's not making excuses. Rather, he's accepting responsibility for his words and actions. He did not intend to harm anyone, but he knows that his chosen words may have hurt others. He understands the impact of his actions and the words he chose have left a poor impression of him and tainted the reputation of the judiciary. He has said to me many times that his intentions do not matter, only the impact of the words he has selected. My client asked me to apologize to this court for your having to take time from other matters to address his mistakes. And he will serve a sanction, whatever that may be. He only asked this court begin the suspension as quickly as possible so that he may return to his position in Burlington County, assigned to the Civil Division, and continue to productively serve.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
The court will take the matter under advisement.